This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Wow. Let's go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Let's bring in super friend of the show. He is Brian Anderson, former Indians pitcher, and you now know him and love him as the color analyst of the Tampa Bay Rays and, among other things, a huge college football fan as well. B.A., I kind of want to – I know this is where I want to start with college football with you. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's totally fine. Hey, listen, whatever direction you want to go in, bro, I'll talk about anything.
It's our favorite part of talking to you, man. We can pretty much bring up anything at this point.
That's it. You take me down the road, and I'll gladly follow.
All right. As we were talking, we were talked a lot about it yesterday, and then the Big Ten put their foot down again today. But Nebraska's not alone. And your good friends at Ohio State, who shunned you, so you went to Wright State so you can end up being a first-round draft pick overall in the Major League Baseball draft. But that's another story for another day. But Nebraska now finds friends with Ohio State, Penn State. I don't know. Is there a possibility that these teams could get together and form a little Big Ten here for the fall?
I think that they are understanding the ramifications of this rushed decision. Again, we go back. The Big Ten has the day that they are going to release their conference-only schedule, and it's a big deal. And then a couple of days later, you know what? We're not going to play at all. All fall sports canceled. We're done, and we don't want to talk about it. Where did that turn of events come from, and how come that still has not been made public? I mean, where is this data and all of these, this bad news, all of these, who knows where the information came from, but the fact that it has not been made public, people keep pressing Warren, as the commissioner, to put this stuff out there. Why are we not playing? The parents want their kids to play, on and on and on, and there's been nothing. And so now you have these six teams. I don't know. Could they? I think they understand this. If they don't play, I don't think, anybody cares about the Pac-12, so forget them. The Big Ten doesn't play, and the other three Power Five conferences of SEC, ACC, Big 12, if they do play, and there may be some hiccups in the course of their season, but if they get through that season and put a meaningful product on the field, the long-term ramifications for the Big Ten, it's going to be a big deal with recruits, with money, with all sorts of things. You guys didn't play. We all did, and it went just fine, and we were able to make it work, and you guys sat on the sidelines. I think that that's what Ohio State, Nebraska, Iowa, Wisconsin, Penn State, Michigan, I think that's what they're all realizing. And so they're going, well, wait a minute, maybe we could get together and play a little round robin. And, conceptually, I love that idea. However, if that's the round robin and Nebraska's going against Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan, Iowa, Wisconsin, two games each, I'm looking at 1-9, 2-8, and I'm not a big fan of that.
I love the way you look at
this. Yeah, that's an upward hill for you. So,
they're going to play the Buckeyes twice, Penn State twice, Michigan twice. I see him getting a win against Iowa, and maybe they could win one of the two games with either Wisconsin or Michigan. And so their best bolt is going to be 2-8. But you know what? I'll take it. At least they're manning up and willing to go out there and play because, here's my question. here's my question. Maybe you guys have gotten into this already, and I'm sorry if I'm...
No, you're cool, dude.
But my question is this. Okay, so you go to Kevin Warren and you say, okay, the season's canceled. It's not going to be revisited. This is done. It's done and over with. Okay, fine. So all of these players that are not going to get to participate in a season, so where are they going to be once school starts? They're students, correct? So
correct.
Then they're going to be on campus with the other students. Except this time, they're not going to have any structure. They're not going to be going to games and practices. They're going to be mingling with the student body. The Friday night party where they would be in the hotel room getting ready for a game on Saturday, they'll be at that Friday night party. I mean, just because you opted out of this season, you probably run the risk of more players getting infected just being regular students on campus. I mean, they're going to be out there anyway, but without the structure of the football program and the constant, consistent testing, I mean, they're just going to be out there just doing whatever. And if you say, well, then we'll do remote learning. Okay, so then you take the 115 kids on your roster and you just send them home. You send them to random communities all over the country and don't think that they're going to hang out with their friends there. I mean, I think that you're going to see more of these players, you know, come down with COVID by not playing than actually by playing. I mean, because the virus is out there. The disease is out there. And so if these kids, their season is canceled, if the virus is still out there and they are still students, they're still on campus, they're still going to get it. I mean, by canceling the season does not mean anything about these kids, you know, health and safety. To me, it almost feels like a liability issue. Well, you know what? If you're just a student and you come down with it, we're good. But if we have a season and you catch it, that could be a potential lawsuit, and we need to protect ourselves. That's almost what it feels like. But whatever.
So, well, I mean, I've got other ways to throw this at you. Like one, I don't know. I mean, could Kevin Warren put his foot down and said it won't be revisited?
Right.
So now you've got Ohio State that still wants to start this thing up in January. And then I read today one of the other Big Ten schools had a meeting last night with parents of a football team. I can't remember which one it was. It might have been Minnesota. That, you know, they started talking to them about that. I'm just wondering if this is going to come down to Kevin Warren might lose his job or the Big Ten may end up just splitting and fracturing all over the place and we could end up looking at some other kind of new conference.
Guys, he's going to have to. I mean, this is the interesting part of even this renegade Big Ten thing that's being kicked around if everybody plays each other twice is,
yep.
I mean, they do that stuff. Now, all of a sudden, the idea of amateurism is out the window because if you're going to do this for football to play so that you can cash in, you're going to have to do it for field hockey and you're going to have to do it with soccer and you're going to have to do it with all of these other sports that are being kicked to the curb when the Big Ten decided to cancel.
Yeah, amen. Amen. And so I think that if the Big Ten's smart, then you remove Kevin Warren and you revisit a season before anything else. Because, you know, it's one thing when Nebraska spoke up and seemingly by themselves when this first the ruling first came down and Nebraska got destroyed for that, you know, around the country, nationally, while a lot of other Big Ten schools obviously felt the same way. Now you get the big boy in the conference, the Buckeyes, you get them involved and they start getting loud and they start banging the can for wanting to play this fall and maybe we go off and do a round. Now you've got people's attention and now you've got some legitimacy because this is, they understand. I mean, this is one, Ohio State is one of the blue bloods. You know, you talk about the top five or six programs in the country and Ohio State is in that mix year in and year out. It's a joke how what a machine they have become as a football program. But they understand, listen, they're not so much worried about their Big Ten competition. They've got their eyeballs on the Clemsons of the world and the Bamas and the LSU. That's where their focus is, you know, a lot of the times, it seems like, because that's the kind of cachet that they're in. And so they're looking like, wait a minute, if those guys are able to have seasons and we sit up here on the sidelines because we're not allowed to play this fall, not going to be real good for us. They understand that, and that's why they're starting to say, you know what, we can do this. We can do this, and we're going to try to exhaust all options to be able to go out there and play, and I applaud them for it. I love it. I absolutely of it, and I'm glad that you now have at least six of the teams in the Big Ten who have, you know, come out and want to explore this idea. And so, do I think it'll happen? I don't. I actually don't. I'd be absolutely shocked if that came to fruition. But I love the fact that they're making enough noise about, you know, being willing to do it.
Oh boy. We'll switch gears to baseball here real quick, and we'll see. And we want to talk more about college football a little bit later. But I appreciate your insights, and I know that, you know, obviously we joke about it, but you being a huge Nebraska fan, but you definitely have your ear to the ground when it comes to a lot of this stuff. So let's get into baseball. First of all, what do you think of the Indians right now? You got two of the starting five pitchers. They're in Eastlake right now because, you know, they couldn't understand what a curfew was. And so, but the Indians are still playing well. I'm just trying to figure out if the Indians are for real or they just got lucky because they played a team. I shouldn't say lucky, that they, the order of the way that they're playing, a couple teams that they're playing right now, very conducive to what this team's been able to do. Look, they score three runs, they win games. So I'm still trying to sink my teeth into what the Indians really are.
You know what? I think the jury's still out, but I will tell you this. Yeah, you're right. The schedule has been fortunate for them, you know, with this, what happened with that team in Chicago. And now, you know, you're coming up and playing the Pirates, a team that you have to absolutely handle, you know, in these shortened season teams that you're supposed to win against, you're supposed to beat, you have to go out and beat them. So certainly the schedule has worked out in their favor for this point of time. But I will tell you this, I get the feeling that clubhouse has been rallied by what has happened. The simple fact that they brought those two guys up there to have that team meeting and told them to bring their baseball equipment in case they are activated. And they get to the team meeting, and these guys, there was enough sentiment in that room that, you know, Chris Antonetti, Francona, Carl Willis, everybody sat down and said, you know what? The best thing for this team is for those guys to go far, far away. That lets me know all I need to know about that clubhouse and how they are – just all together in this. And that's what we talked about last time. I said this could go one of two ways. You could either galvanize the team and move forward that way, or it could become splintered and become an absolute train wreck. And it looks like in the short term, it has galvanized this team. And it's funny because my partner, Dwayne Stats, when the decision came down to put those guys, to take them off the restricted list, and option them to the alternate site. And then the story came out about the team meeting and the way that the Indians have handled this. Dwayne Stats, who's a throwback, he looked at me and he said, I'm going to tell you something right now. He said, the Cleveland Indians organization has restored my faith in humanity. They did the right thing, not the easy thing, but they did the right thing. And it was all it really was all started by the guys in that clubhouse. They're the ones that set the tone for the decision makers to then say, at least in the short term, they can't be here. It would make for a toxic environment. And so I think that it's galvanized this team. Now, is the talent going to be enough? We'll see. Will they allow, you know, will the two pitchers, Clevinger and Plesac, come back to this? Will there be a trade? I mean, there's a lot of different things in play right now. But I think it's a solid unit, and so you just go out and do what you have to do to win. And I think that these guys are of the mindset. The feeling that you get is that they're, we'll show you. This doesn't look good. This wasn't pretty, but we're going to overcome. And so time will tell.
What do you think of these guys? And you're starting to see it a little bit with the Cleveland Indians, a little bit on the benches where they're basically cheering their guys on by banging on coolers and trying to emulate as much of the fan support as possible. You like that idea?
Oh, I thought you were going to say emulate the Astros.
No. Yeah.
I thought the same thing.
No. That's a different. That's not a cooler. That's a trash can. There's a difference. It's not
right.
Always that, a frat party.
Fault. That's my fault. I think that anything to add atmosphere, you know, I was one of the first guys, well, I shouldn't say the first guys, but I know that early on when I first heard about they're going to pipe in crowd noise, I thought, okay, how cheesy is that? We're going to pump in crowd noise, fake crowd noise in an empty stadium. That is one of the worst ideas I've ever heard. I will tell you this, calling these games with that piped in crowd noise, I like it. I think it adds an ambience. You know, the other night when we were playing the Yankees, when we were whipping up on them in Yankee Stadium, they had it way down, And so it was very awkward and weird for not to be able to hear the crowd music or the crowd sounds. Last night they had it turned up a little bit louder, and you noticed the difference. And so I kind of like that. It adds some atmosphere. And these guys, it's listen, you feed off of the crowd as an athlete. You really do. And while you have to be self-motivated and be able to go out and perform at a high level, even if it's on a backfield with nobody watching or in a major league stadium with nobody in the stands, you have to be able to do that. But at the same time, if you can create some atmosphere by doing that stuff and the hijinks and the nonsense on the bench and find different ways to get guys excited, I am all for it. So, you know, do what you got to do, man. Make it fun. That's the whole point of this. Make it fun.
B.A., we're out of time, man. Love talking to you.
All right.
You know
well,
we
that's
do.
Good because, listen, I got two things for you. First of all, we got a 105 game today. We're about to sweep the Yanks in Yankee
Stadium.
Nice.
Go get them.
Over first
nice.
Place.
Okay.
So that's pretty awesome on that end. And second of all, I just got done doing a sit-down TV interview with your boy Mike Cairns.
Oh, nice. Nice.
We sit down and we were talking and he brings your name up. I'm like, Mike, you're not going to believe this. But when we're done with this interview, I'm going to walk over to our booth, and Andy's going to call me in about 15 minutes. And I go, I'm about to do a phoner with him. He goes, will you tell him I said hello? And on and on and on he went. He had nothing but great things to say about you.
He is a good man. He was a good partner and probably one of the best guys I've ever worked with in TV here in Cleveland. I miss him dearly. And now he's just sitting by the pool catching the rays and catching the rays. Both do
That's right.
twice at
That's
once,
right.
man. Hey, B.A., that was great to hear his name, too. Thank you, B.A. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, fellas, take care.
Talk to you soon, brother.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.